couple of computers just all of a sudden decided to stop. Just gone. And no one was even in the booth. And we wondered, okay, what's going on? We think we have it narrowed down, but we were not able to replace a part that needed to be replaced or that needs to be replaced. And just before the service started this morning, it did it again. So that may be a sign of difficulties for our service today. We're talking about signs today, and we see them every day. And some of them are helpful, like stop. That tells us, gives us direct information of what we should do. And then yield. Although we don't like to do that, it's probably a really good idea to follow it so we are not bringing conflict into our lives and others. And there's all kinds of different signs that we see. We see, don't see them much around here, but when we were traveling in November, we saw a lot of big billboards, and they were lawyers. And they were talking about, if you were in a fender bender, call us. I guess they repair fenders. I don't know. But the signs that we're talking about, well, we're going to look at one of them today. In fact, we're going to read the passage in Luke chapter 2, and we're reading verses 15 through 20, the passage. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to go backwards and look at the passage just before this. But this has to do with the shepherds. And I'm going to read this from the New American Standard Bible. And this is Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. And we read this. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Pray with me. Our Father, we are grateful for this word, this experience of the shepherds, because it identifies a specific sign and a specific message. It even tells what was done with it and what was done as a result of having proclaimed it. I pray that you would bring this to our minds in our own lives, that we might also participate in this same formula, that you would be pleased with us, that we may glorify and praise you as did the shepherds. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. I'm going to give you 3 points right now, and if I forget to give them later, you'll already have them. Hear it out. First point is hear it out. The second one is check it out. And the third one is shout it out. First of all, now I want to tell you a little bit about what a sign is. Now, we see them many all over the place, and they are indications of behavior that people want us to take or that we must take in our life, as we're driving, as we're walking. Even we have signs in our church. In fact, it was interesting here last week. Came into the office where I do some work during the week and stuff. And it said nursery on there. I guess they know me better than I thought. But there is these signs, these indicators, are indications and help to prime us to do what God wants us to do. Not all of them. Evil can use signs too, but signs. And we can understand these signs. I mean, when a wife doesn't speak for 3 days, it's a sign of something. And when a man doesn't want to be around the house, that's a sign of something too. Maybe the same kind of thing. A sign is a means by which something can be verified. In this case, that's what it is. We want to verify something, and there's a sign that we can pursue, and we can take to heart, and we can apply it, and we can verify something. And that's exactly what took place in this account. It's something that is quickly verifiable, something that you don't have to wait a long time to verify. And it will provide a certainty that the other aspects of the message are also true. This is a very important thing with regard to prophecy throughout the scriptures. Many times a prophecy would have two prophecies in it. One would be a prophecy for a very short period of time, and the next part of the same prophecy may have something to do with hundreds of years later. That if the first part proved to be true, that could be verified in a short time, then we know that the prophecy about the long term would be true as well, just as true. Jesus employed one of these, and when he did, well, I'll explain it later, but when he did it, the first part had already taken place. And the second part hasn't taken place yet. I'll explain that in a second. Signs. The Bible has many signs, and the Lord has used many signs in the lives of Bible characters. One of them that came to my mind was Judges chapter 6. And in verse 36 through 40, here is an angel comes to Gideon, and Gideon is threshing grain in a wine press. Now, you don't do this. The wine press is up on top where the wind will drive the chaff away. But he was doing it, excuse me, winnowing grain is done on the hilltop. The wine press is down in low ground. But he was on the low ground trying to winnow this wheat, this crop. The reason he was doing that is because the nation was overrun with Midianites. And as soon as they saw somebody harvesting or processing their grain, they would come in and just steal it because they had domination in that area. So, but here's Gideon. He's up there, down there, actually trying to winnow this grain, and he's doing it in secret so that it doesn't get stolen. And an angel appears to him. The angel says, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor, Mr. Brave Man. Is he? The angel said he was a brave man. I mean, you're a mighty man of valor, as the one English translation says it. And you will deliver Israel through me. Excuse me. You're going to deliver Israel from the Midianites. He's pretty afraid of the Midianites. But here, as the angel said, you are my man of valor, and you're going to deliver your people from the Midianites. They were dominated by the Midianites. Doesn't seem very likely, does it? But that's the message the angel gave, and eventually, in verse 36, Gideon starts to respond to this angel. And he said, if you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken. And it was so. Next morning, he squeezed a whole bowl full of water out of that fleece, and the ground was dry. There's a sign. There's the sign that God was giving to Gideon that what I said is going to take place. And this sign is an indication. And who can do this but me? Who can cause the dew just to be on that fleece? That Gideon says to God, please let me make one test more with the fleece. Okay, I'll put out the fleece and make it dry in the fleece and let there be dew on all the ground so that the sign is not a fluke. Or, I don't know what was motivating him for this. But if only God can do what he did, shouldn't that have been enough for Gideon? But apparently he wanted additional confirmation. And so he said, let the wool be dry and the ground be wet. In the morning, guess what happened? It was that way. And so God God did so that night. Now, Gideon, it wasn't the sign that was the big deal. It was pretty big deal for him to know that what the angel said was true. The stakes were very high. His nation was at stake. And the Midianites had overrun them for years. And here it was, the proclamation that this Midianites are going to be put aside and you're going to have your own freedom back. And twice he wanted this sign to be obvious. Well, Gideon always could go back to the fleece. He had the experience of the fleece, and he could always go back and verify from his own memory, from his own experience, that God would deliver Israel from Midian through him. And it wasn't just a party for him. Read the account. It's a terrific story of how God did great things to fulfill the plan. Now, the whole purpose of the story is not simply to show people that there was a sign. The sign was there to show people that what the angel said was true, and the Midianites would be overthrown by Gideon and his leadership. In fact, Gideon did have doubts later, but God actually did what he verified to Gideon that he would do. In Isaiah chapter 7, there's another sign. This one, I don't know if you realize that it's actually a sign. But it says it's a sign in Isaiah 7. Ahaz was a grandson of Uzziah, and Isaiah was the prophet during that time. And there were two kings, Rezin and Pekah, the kings of the Arameans and the Israelites, and 10 northern tribes. And they were threatening Judah and the southern tribes. And it scared Ahaz, the king of Judah, because he couldn't fend them off. He couldn't defeat all those. But God told Ahaz through Isaiah that they are going to fail in their attempt, in the evil that they intended. They're going to fail in that. In fact, they themselves and the nations they rule will be destroyed, the Lord said. If you will not believe, you will surely not last. A quote from that conversation. So God told Ahaz, ask for a sign. Ask for a sign. Make it deep as Sheol. That's the grave, the pit. Or as high as the heaven. You ask for a sign, and I'll verify the sign, and I'll make it all happen. Ahaz says, I'm not going to ask you for a sign. I'm not going to put you to the test, Lord. God said, you're trying my patience. Because of it, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The sign that the threat of fear will fail and the nations causing it will be destroyed. Here is the sign. A virgin will give birth to a son. Verse 14. We quote this often, don't we, at Christmas time? Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land whose two kings you dread will be forsaken. Isn't it interesting? One of these, it is the sign itself that it proclaims that the virgin birth of the Christ, the Messiah. And it's given to Ahaz hundreds of years before. And Ahaz didn't want to declare a sign, but the Lord did. You want to hear another sign? It's not a sign of a longer sermon. We'll get done probably a little early. Joel the prophet. His whole three chapters of the prophecy of this Old Testament book is the day of the Lord, talking about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is not 24 hours. It's a span of time in which the conclusion of history or the future, when Christ returns and sets everything to right, that whole thing is called the day of the Lord here. A time of the Lord's coming to restore things as they should be, many things, over a period of time. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome, Joel says in his book, chapter 2. Now the Lord says, Return to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and tear your hearts and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? A quote from this passage. And so in this, Joel is admonishing, the prophecy is return, returning to the Lord from their wandering and from their disobedience. And then later on in the same chapter 2, consecrate a fast. So this isn't just personal. This is national now. Consecrate a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing infants. Let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her chamber. Let the priest say, Spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your inheritance a reproach. Why should they among the people say, where is your God? Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and will have pity on his people. So where's the sign? The call is to return to the Lord, and the call is to sanctify a people, to come be right with God. And then there is a promise in this. And Joel says it. He says, I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth. Blood, fire, columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. All of this stuff about the sky and the sun and the moon and blood and all of that is a sign for the truth. It will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. That's the sign. And we know this because of what Peter said in Acts chapter 2. When they were wondering about all of these Galileans speaking these different languages. How could they? What is this? Are they drunk? I mean, where does this come from? Well, it comes from the sign that was given by God through Joel. And Peter, as he's explaining this to the people, said, this isn't because they're drunk. This is a sign. And it is a sign that has taken place. And it is a sign that something is going to take place. And here is the thing that will take place. And this is the root of the scriptures, especially, and of the gospel. It's a sign of what? Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We're kind of in the middle of that in the book of Acts. Jesus issued another sign. The scribes and the Pharisees were talking to Jesus, and they weren't really kind about it. They wanted to find something wrong so that they could do away with him. And in one of the conversations, as recorded in Matthew chapter 12, the scribes and Pharisees said, "We want to see a sign from you." Now, exactly what they meant by this, it may have been, yeah, show us a miracle. We want to see something cool. We want to see something spectacular. We want to see what other people have been talking about. Will you please show us a sign? We want to see this. And Jesus said, no sign is going to be shown to you. No sign will be to an evil generation except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. The sign of Jonah was the sign of the truth of Jesus' resurrection, the passion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now let's look at the sign of the shepherds. The angels came and gave them the message. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week, Lord willing. But the emphasis of the message is the promise. It is the announcement that the baby that was born is Messiah, God in flesh. It's not just an adorable little baby boy. It's not just the humbleness of this setting. God the Creator. What place in the world could he be born and it not be humble for him? angel said, today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord, Messiah, the Lord of all, for you. The one born is Messiah, the Lord of the universe. Now that's the truth. That is the truth that is verified by a sign. And then, this will be a sign unto you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then, of course, all the heavens broke loose. What was the sign? A baby in a manger. This doesn't happen very often, that a baby is placed into a manger. In fact, it was the only time it happened at that era in Bethlehem, in the city of Bethlehem. Okay, so here's the shepherds. They heard what the angel said. And I rather imagine that the shepherds were there on the hillside, and it was no doubt probably during lambing season. And that's the only indication we know of as to what time Jesus was actually born, is when the shepherds were out in the fields. But here are these shepherds out there. They were not expecting this. God was. God sent an angel. Hey, go mess with those shepherds. And he did. Just put yourself in this spot. It's not bright day like it is now. It's dark. Probably some stars up there. And not the one. Shepherds never saw that star. But the other stars they could see. And they were in the night. No doubt a little bit drowsy. And bam! Angel appeared. Now, have you ever had an angel appear before you? Do you know what that meant for the thinking of Israelites? The prophecy about angels comes at the very end when God brings judgment. In fact, God will use angels to bring judgment. And we see that in the book of Revelation. We see it referenced in other passages too. And you notice that almost every occasion on which an angel shows himself to a human being, the human being is afraid. I don't know exactly what that angel looked like, but all those shepherds seem to have seen him. And if you're you're kind of drowsy, and you're out on the hillside, and you're watching these sheep, and you're listening for predators to prey on the sheep, and all of a sudden, boom, there he is right there, bright as day. Well, I don't know. I was talking with someone earlier today about halos. No halos mentioned in Scripture, of course, but there sometimes there's a brightness like the Shekinah glory of God, or Moses' face when he came off of the mountain, being that close to the glory of God. And here is the angels who minister before God, and appearing here, and this angel, one particular one here, describes this and says, for you in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. And this will be the sign, baby in a manger. They heard him out. Those shepherds heard out what the angel said. They listened, and then here is the sign. The baby in a manger. And then there was this commotion of a great chorus of angels chanting this glory to God in the highest, right? What did the shepherds do? I think pretty much as soon as they could get their voices back, they began talking to one another and said, this is really cool. We got to write this down. No. Said, wait till I tell my mother-in-law this one. No, not at all. He said, let's go to Bethlehem and check out the sign. Because if the sign is true, we know that the statement of who this is true. And our people have been looking for this Messiah for hundreds of years. And now all of a sudden, if the sign is true, then The statement is true. That's what a sign is. So they heard out the angel. They went to Bethlehem and checked it out and found Jesus in a manger and Mary and Joseph there too. They found the baby. They verified the sign. The news that the sign verified was earth-shattering news. They knew that. They knew the import of that. Nothing would ever be the same because now Rome would be no more and Jesus will reign. He's going to give them their whole nation back. He's going to establish his kingdom again on earth, and Rome has no place in it. And at this time, Rome ruled the world virtually. And having Messiah come, everything changes and everything is restored and everything comes back the way it's supposed to be. Wouldn't that be a fantastic thing? They found the baby, they verified the sign, and then they began to declare the message that the sign was a sign of. Messiah has been born. He is Christ, word Christ, Messiah, the same, the anointed one. He is Messiah. He is Lord of all. And they started talking to everybody about it. It wasn't like, okay, we've had a good hour with these angels, and we've come and verified the message, and how wonderful this has been for us. This is very, very inspiring, and we'll go back and we'll think about all of this stuff. Yeah, you will. But it's going to be life-changing. These were not the same shepherds that first went up on the hillside to look at that sheep. These are shepherds that found their shepherd. And so they started declaring. They were shouting out to this message of what the sign pointed to. They were declaring that Jesus is Christ, or that the Messiah has been born. He is here. He is on the planet. He is right there in that manger. And we saw him. And everything is going to change. When we see Jesus in our own minds, and in the way we understand him, and in the way we perceive him. Is that the way we see him? Life-changing? Everything changes? You know the extent of it through the signs that we've already mentioned? This Christ makes warriors of wimps like Gideon. This releases the very message of God, like the sign that Jesus gave to Ahaz and to the Israeli people. Prophet Joel, the sign of all of these things that took place on that day of Pentecost, that was the sign. That wasn't the main thing. The main thing that the Holy Spirit, God, is here and nothing will ever be the same again. Your life is changed. You can't live it like you did. You live it free. You will have returned. You will have been sanctified. And you will have received a promise, as Joel mentioned. How do we see him? Do we see him as this little adorable little boy? And like one Christmas carol says, he doesn't even cry. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, he's not so naughty as to cry. I find that weird. I think he cried, and I think he cried good and loud. I think it was practice for the day he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, when he declared the Sermon on the Mount without amplification, when he talked to people. But the shepherds told the account, and everybody wondered about it. It affected everybody else. Could this be true? If Messiah is here in our own town, think of the ramifications of this, not only for us, but for everybody else. All those people in Iowa, they're not going to be this. Oh, wait a second. They hadn't discovered that yet. They will. And this Christ's presence will change the life of everybody who claims him as Savior. because whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And Mary. Mary already knew this message. The angel had appeared to her 9 to 12 months or so before this. And she was told that this baby she was going to give birth to was going to be the king, that there will be no end to his rule. He will have many titles. Isaiah 9:6 mentions some of them. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Mary knew those. But she who had staked her life and reputation on the same message pondered them in her heart when she heard it from the shepherds. The shepherds returned to their flock, and they weren't the same. They returned glorifying and praising God because of the impact of the message, confirmed by the sign that the angel gave, attested by what they personally had seen. Okay. Hear them out. Hear out the message. Check it out. Look at the signs. Prove it out. And then when you've proven it, when you've come to call upon the name of the Lord and are saved, shout it out, because everybody on the face of the earth needs to receive this message. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is giving us the same message. Yeah, we celebrate the hearing of it. Well, the shepherds heard out the angel, and they checked it out, and they shouted it out. And that, my friends, is us. May God give clarity, direction, and power for us to carry it out. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for this sign that you gave to the shepherds to verify the actual account that Jesus Christ is Messiah. He was born that night, and he's present on the earth. And we may turn to him in faith. We may call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Speak to us of these things, of being saved. What does that mean? Never being the same again, to be able to be a recipient of this presence of Jesus himself. And then empower us. Give us not only ability, but boldness to actually do the shouting out, so that you can be glorified in every way that you have designed us to glorify you. And we pray these things in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.